The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Today's gospel reading from St. John chapter 6 kind of ended abruptly because there are a couple of more verses that follow this lectionary reading, and I'm going to read those to you now. Right after Peter confessed of Jesus that he was the one who had the words of eternal life, to whom else could the disciples go? "We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered Peter and the other disciples by saying, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, John says, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was to betray Jesus. Now that's really frightening when you think about it. Jesus had called Judas to be his disciple. Judas had every opportunity that the other disciples did to hear the word of Christ over the course of several years, to witness Jesus' miracles just as the other disciples had done, to stand there and watch and wonder as Jesus made the blind to see again and made the lame walk again, made the deaf to hear, as he turned the water into wine at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, as he calmed the fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee, as he walked upon the water. Judas saw all these things, and yet at the end, it didn't do him any good at all. We're told that he loved money, that he was a thief, and that he would take from the common purse. And indeed, he did agree to betray his Lord, his master, for 30 pieces of silver. He was a devil, Jesus said of him. Despite all the advantages he had, same advantages as the other disciples, he fell from the faith. Jesus described him elsewhere as a son of perdition, a son of condemnation, a son of hell. And the question then is, as I read about Judas and how he just squandered his advantages, what about me? Am I like Judas? Am I a son of perdition? Well, certainly Scripture teaches that I am by nature sinful and unclean, that I was born an enemy of God by nature, according to my fallen nature, that there was nothing good within me, as St. Paul confessed of himself, but inside myself are all kinds of sins, all kinds of iniquities, all kinds of evil desires. Oh, it's pastor confession time. Well, if you have heard God's law rightly, it is your confession time too. Because the same is true of you. You see, apart from God's grace and mercy in Christ Jesus, you and I would be lost eternally. We would surely wander astray. Indeed, we had and did wander astray. And yet God sent His Son in the flesh to redeem us, to call us back to Himself. For it is Jesus in His holy flesh and blood who is the sacrifice for our sins. God's means of atoning for the sins of the world and making sinners, those who by nature are enemies of God, into something new, a new creation, a new status. Children of God, beloved children of God, forgiven, redeemed, sanctified, declared holy, made holy for the sake of Christ Jesus, God's own dear Son. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of his flesh. He says, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." He says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." He says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." The flesh of Jesus. What is he referring to when he says we must eat his flesh and drink his blood? Well, I think to understand that, we have to go back to the very beginning of St. John's Gospel. St. John chapter 1, verse 14, where we hear these magnificent, wonderful, miraculous words, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, full of grace, full of truth. And in him was life." The Word of God, the second person of the Godhead, became flesh, took upon himself a body like mine, a body like yours. Real meat on those bones of Jesus, real blood in his veins, real lungs, real kidneys, real digestive system, real nerves that could feel pain, a body that could suffer and could die. This is the meaning of the incarnation. This is the reality of the incarnation. God took upon himself a body for you. God took upon himself a human body so that body could be offered up in sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world. What Jesus did with his body was critically important for you, for your salvation. Because if Jesus had sought to preserve his body, no forgiveness, no justification, no redemption for you and me. But you, what do you do with the body God has given you? Do you use it to his glory? Do you use that body as you are able to bring you to church, to sit and hear the Word of God, to hear the good news of your salvation? Do you use that body to rise and to be seated, to participate in the liturgy, to sing with your mouth the praises of God and to confess all he has done for you, to say the amen to the proclamation of the gospel and the good news that you are indeed forgiven in Christ Jesus? Or do you keep that body away? Do you not participate? Do you think it's unimportant? Well, obviously today you think it's important because you're here. But what about other Sundays? What about other times? Christ took upon himself flesh and blood. He took upon himself a body and offered that body on the cross and was raised again in that body on the third day so he could redeem you in body and in soul and in all that you are. You have been purchased at a price, the price of Christ's holy and precious blood, the price of his body crucified for you. And here's what you can do with your body today. You can come and you can eat the flesh of Christ, the body of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you can drink his blood given to you in the sacrament, in the confidence that whoever feeds on his flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life. And you will be raised up on the last day. It's why we are here. It's not to be entertained. It's because Christ has something to give himself to us. And with the gift of himself in his body and blood, his salvation. Remember what he did with his body to redeem you. Remember what he calls you to do with your body and with your heart and with your mind and with your soul. Not to reject him as Judas did, but to receive him as the Holy One of God, the only one to whom you can go in the midst of adversity and trouble and sin and heartache. He who has the words of eternal life for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.